Welcome to BFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to BFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'll be hosting VFN Radio today and filling in for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
How you doing today, man?
Doing wonderfully well. How are you?
Doing good. Oh, man, I'm doing good. Could you believe it's Friday already?
I know. Where did this week go?
Dude, it is flying by. It has been confirmed, by the way. I can say dude.
Okay on the air, live?
Oh, my goodness. We're coming to the end of the week. And I just want to remind all of our VFN Radio listeners that this weekend, of course, we have the VFN Radio Marathon Weekend. And it starts at 9 a.m. Central and on Sunday. And it will follow the whole weekend until Monday at 9 a.m. So, my goodness, feel free to tune on in. You'll hear the whole week's program throughout the entire weekend. I hear so many reports about people just, you know, hanging out on the weekend and having a good time and barbecuing and listening to VFN
That's
Radio.
Awesome. Actually, it starts on Saturday at 9 a.m. Central.
I said Sunday, didn't I?
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
It's Saturday.
I'll let it slide.
My goodness. Saturday, 9 a.m. Thanks, Pat. Well, listen, Pat, I got to ask you this question. Have you ever built anything? I know you're a little handy there with the hammer and stuff, but have you built something for your kids before?
A couple years ago, I built this 20-foot swing up in our big oak tree we have in front of our house.
But you built a little swing. I remember that swing. But I also remember the Taj Mahal there that you created for Jordan when she was little.
Well,
knocking out walls and painting
sheetrocking
and
it was a lot of work.
Well, this is a master builder where, man, I have a video here that I'm going to play, but I'm gonna speak during this video of this father, this dad, man, that I think he's got you. I mean, I know you're a bad man when it comes to the hammer and stuff, man, but this guy here, he's got you. This father, okay, built in his backyard a roller coaster for his daughter. A roller coaster.
Oh <my gosh.
laughs> Now, and I want you to think about this. This roller coaster goes as high as 12 feet. Okay? It's made out of PVC. Okay? In fact, I'm just going to play this. They're getting ready to.
Here
we
go!
We have
her.
Are you ready to go up?
Yes, sir!
He has their.
Oh my goodness! What was that?
Well, he has her in this roller coaster. He has her in a seat like a baby seat. She's about 3 years old, okay?
Right.
And he has this stick, a pole. It has to be about 9 feet, and he's literally gliding her, pushing her up this ramp, right?
Uh-huh.
And she comes flying down, and oh my goodness, she's just laughing. It's made out of PVC pipe, some wood stilts, and she is just screaming a ball. Maybe you can hear a little bit about her.
Wow. Sounds like the real thing.
And here she goes. She's going up 12 feet.
Wow.
Now, I mean, I know you're a master builder, man, but I mean, this roller coaster, we're going to post this on the Torch because you
got to
see this.
Yeah, you got to. But I got to see this.
Dude, roller coaster in the backyard. I don't know. Swing, roller coaster, swing. I don't know.
Not even close.
I got to see here. You know, for those that don't know, a hammer in Pat's hand is an actual tool. But a hammer in my hand is a paperweight.
It's a deadly weapon.
It's a deadly weapon. Maybe I could hurt, you know what I mean? So I thought that was very interesting to share with you this morning. But I also wanted to talk about, I know that, you know, throughout the week and throughout some of our programming, that we have been sharing and talking about the Olympics ever since the Olympics started. And we've been sharing about some of these Olympians and some of the training. And, you know, I shared with you some of, you know, last time I was on there, we talked about some tips that are six-pack training tips. I hope you are adhering to those.
Oh, yeah. Every day. Did you tell?
Oh, yeah, I can tell. Ripped, huh? Oh my goodness. And he was telling me about a spray that you could spray. It's even easier. You could just spray a six pack.
Spray on six packs? Oh, I'm all about that.
Oh, it'd be a round six pack though. I don't know.
Yeah, more like a keg.
Anyway, so we talked about Gabby Douglas, and we talked about her stance for the Lord, which is so awesome. She's 16 years old, man. 16 years old, glorifying God, tweeting that God's given her strength to succeed. And, of course, she's a gold medalist, which she won during her gymnastics, which I have no idea how these Olympians flip on this little beam there. I mean, I still can't get this, but it sure is amazing to watch, man. It's amazing.
Unbelievable.
Talked about Allison Felix yesterday, whose parents are both believers, and she grew up in a Christian home. But I wanted to share with you another athlete, another Olympian. I think it's so cool and amazing because, you know, oftentimes, and we say this often, we've talked about Drew Brees and Jeremy Lin and other sports figures about their outspokenness in sports. But I got to tell you, you know, Pat, I've been a sportsman for a long time. I mean, I haven't seen so many outspoken believers like I have in the last, I don't know, year or two.
There's a lot more of them.
Yeah, a lot more of them and a lot more people that are just glorifying God in what they do. And so I have a interview here that I want to share with you. Mike Huckabee interviews Ryan Hall. And Ryan Hall is a marathon runner, and he really has a tremendous story, and he is firmly and I mean, his guy is rooted in God, man. I want you to listen to this.
Ryan, how do you deal with it when people say, oh, so God is your coach, and they try to make something of that?
By the way, he says God is his coach, okay?
Yeah,
this is awesome. His coach.
You know, I do my best just to, stay out of stuff that's written about me. You know, I stay off the running websites. I don't read any media that's been written about me. But, you know, like, as hard as I try to stay out of that stuff, you know, inevitably that stuff trickles through. And sometimes I hear it secondhand through other people. And, you know, like, I just don't feel a pressure to prove God that he's real through my running, you know. And, like, I tell people all the time, like, just because I've got from my coach, I'm not – you know, saying that everything I do is perfect. The only
How awesome is that? Just because God is my coach. I mean, so many times people are trying to just, you know, do things. And we mentioned the other day, you know, my co-pilot, you know. God is his coach. God helps him, you know what I'm saying? And he stays focused. Listen to this.
I listen to are people that God's put in my life, my wife, my family, people who love me and who might have some input for me that is good, positive feedback. But, you know, beyond that, my goal is just to listen to God and do what he tells me to do.
Well, obviously you're doing.
That's some good advice. Yeah. I just listen to God and I just do what he tells me to do.
And that's what a concept.
What a concept. I just listen to God and I just do what he tells me to do. Really be that simple? Can I just listen to God and do what he tells me to do? It's like hear and do, right?
Yep.
Not hear, think, and do. Contemplate whether I should or shouldn't.
Right.
And hear and do, right?
That's right.
Listen to this.
There's something right about that. And that's what I think is so incredibly amazing about you. Clearly, you're running for a gold medal. You're running to win. But, you know, in talking with you, Ryan, I don't get the impression that winning for you a race, winning an earthly race, is everything there is. So tell me, what is it that drives you? What is it that motivates you? And if you don't win in London, are you still okay with who you are as Ryan Hall?
Yeah, certainly. I think one thing that God's been telling me over and over and over again as I've spent the last 6 months just running my brains out preparing for this race is Jesus is the prize for me. And that's such a freeing thing for me because I feel like a gold medal or a medal of any color would just be icing on the cake for me. You know, like
Jesus is the prize.
Awesome.
Dude, this is world stage. People are training 4 years of their life.
Yeah.
they're giving up everything. They're putting their body through all these physical, strenuous things that you and I really don't get a chance to touch. But they're doing it. We're admiring them, you know? Mm-hmm. And he says, I know you want to win a gold medal, but he has his eye on the real prize, which is Jesus. Listen to what he says.
Feel like I already have something that transcends an Olympic medal and that brings satisfaction to my daily life every single day that's way better than winning a gold medal. Like I've read about enough Olympic gold medalists who have struggled with their life after winning gold to know that, you know, gold medal is not everything in life. And that's.
I know, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, many times I've seen people, you know, they're trying to achieve and do all these things. And once I've got to, you know, the top of the mountains, I often think about, you know, the guy or the woman who's trying to work so successfully, you know, in their business or in their job. And they have their ladder, you know, on the building. And they say, I'm going to make it. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do all these things. Just sometimes, you know, they compromise their walk with God. They compromise their time with their family. Yeah, they're selling themselves out for the quote unquote prize. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they get to the very top of the building. They get to the top and I made it. Their hands are thrust in. I made it.
Mm-hmm.
Only to realize that God and their family is on the other building across the way. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
and you know, God loves you enough to bring you down that stairwell.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he'll let a couple of rungs fall out.
Yeah, to bring you back where you need to be. But you could avoid that by doing what Ryan's talking about, by staying focused and realizing that Jesus is always the prize. God's the prize to keep things in perspective. I mean, if you don't have the right perspective, you can easily lose your way. Listen to what he says.
What I love about God is that he's available for everyone, and he's offering amazing lives for everyone. It's not like a gold medal where only one guy on one day can win that medal. It's opened up to everyone. And so that's the great thing about, you know, my coach and running for him. And another thought that I've had recently.
Don't you love this guy, my coach, and running for him?
Wow.
Don't you love those that may be familiar with Bill Johnson? You know, Ryan, fellowships out there at Bethel House and Bill Johnson and all them. And that's just so cool. He says, listen, you know, you can run for Olympic medal and, you know, maybe three out of however many are competing, you know, per event can get this. But let me tell you the real prize. Let me tell you the true medal. The true medal is Jesus Christ, a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? This is what we live for.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, when it's all said and done, Pat, think about it. When it's all said and done and it's all over, people are not going to say, I wish I would have worked more.
Right.
I wish I'd have got more medals. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I wish I would have done more vacations or, you know, whatever the things that people are doing. You know what I mean? I wish I would have, just got all this money.
Mm-hmm.
When it's all said and done and they're going to face God, you know, they're going to say what? Two things that we always talk about.
That's right.
People only have two regrets on their deathbeds. One is that I wish I would have done more for my family because I'm getting ready to leave them.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I wish I knew God because I'm getting ready to meet him.
That's right.
I mean, you can avoid tomorrow's regrets today by having proper perspective, by saying, you know what? It's not about all these things that the world makes it seem to be. I don't have to run after all these type of worldly treasures. I can make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. He is the great, he is the great treasure. And no matter, like Ryan says, whether I win or lose, I'm like, dude, God's with me. Listen to a few more things he has to say.
Simply just like, I can't make God any more proud of me than he already is. It doesn't matter if I finish first, if I finish last. Like when I stand before God right now, like he is so incredibly proud of me. And that just frees me up to like not be afraid to fail, not be afraid to take risks. And I think that's one of the things that's made me a great marathon runner is I'm not afraid to just go for it. And you know, it doesn't always work out. Like I've bombed plenty of races and finished last place in races before, but it's really fun to go after your goals when you don't feel this huge pressure. You don't feel this.
What he's saying here, Pat, is that, you know what? There is no pressure that I don't have to tap dance or perform to get God's favor.
That's right.
You know, I don't have to do these things and show God in a shiny medal to say, look, look, am I good enough yet?
That's right.
That makes all the difference in the world. I mean, how many attack that way thinking that I just got to do something for God? If I just read the Bible more, I'm telling you, if I just, you know, started praying more and all these maybe religious works that maybe God would love me more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an amazing concept. It's an amazing reality when you come to the point where you realize that God loves me.
That's right.
There's not a single thing that you or anyone listening today can do for God to love us anymore. Think about that.
That's right. Nothing.
Love you anymore or love you any less. He just loves you just because. I mean, when I think about the love of God, Pat, I think about, you know, when I have my children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm happily married. I love my wife. You know what I'm saying? I think she's cool. She's great.
She's cool.
Oh, God. with a good wife, and you know, I love her.
Mm-hmm.
But Pat, when I saw my babies, when my children came, It was so amazing that God was, I mean, I experienced a dimension of love that, I never knew before. I mean, I knew what it was to be loved by my parents. I know what it was to love my parents. And I know what it was to love my siblings and then my wife and, you know, my Christian brother, my fellow man. But you're loving a child.
Nothing like
it. There's nothing like it. And one day I was looking in the crib when one of my babies was born, and I'm just gazing at them and just looking at them intently. Mm-hmm. And oh my goodness, the Lord just starts to speak to me, man. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, this child has not said or uttered a single word to me. Mm-hmm. This child has not done a single thing for me. Right. This child just simply exists. They just exist. They're there. They just exist. And I love them so much.
Unconditionally.
I love them so much. And you just know that instantly that there's not a single thing that they could ever do from that that you're going to say, oh, I'm going to love them more. Or anything that they can do bad that you're going to say, oh, I love you less. Mm. You just know that you love them.
That's right.
You love them. And I think about the love of God that way. Mm-hmm. I think about the love of God, that he just loves us so much, Pat, that there's nothing that you, I, or anyone listening today can do to earn it. We don't have to tap dance. Nope. We don't have to do any of those things. Mm-hmm. God loves us, and he proved his love by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us.
That's right.
I mean, love was displayed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Listen to how Ryan finishes up.
Failure, you don't feel like you have to perform for someone. You're just performing out of who you are, not out of what you're going for, and that's a huge difference.
You know, Eric Little, the great runner from the Olympics almost 100 years ago, who had very strong Christian convictions, refused to run on Sunday. There were a lot of things about him, the movie Chariots of Fire about him. There was a line in that movie, Ryan, that I think of when I hear you, and it is that when I run, I feel God's pleasure. I almost sense that when you run, it's as if you feel his pleasure. Would you identify with what Eric Little said?
He goes on to say that, you know, that's one of his fans that he looks at. Eric Little, I'm not sure you remember this, but I think of 1926, I think, in the Paris Games. Mm-hmm. They made the movie Chariots of Fire.
Yeah, I remember that.
I didn't watch the movie. All I remember is da na na na.
Oh, yeah.
I'll sing no more for you. That's all I
That's pretty good.
But hey, you know, I'll sing a little bit, but I hear that you're even a better singer. Maybe we'll get a chance to
Let's move on.
but actually, Eric Little was another believer who stood for the Lord. In fact, you know, one of the races that he was going to run, because they were going to run on Sunday, and he just wanted to honor God as his own, you know, personal conviction. He wanted to honor the Sabbath and honor that day for him. He actually didn't run a race that he was going to win. I mean, he was highly favored. He says, "Nope, I'm not going to do it." And he was a Christian missionaries, and then later went back into the mission field in China and stuff like that. But it's just so encouraging, you know. We can learn so much just about the Lord by just, you know, interacting with other believers and enjoying their experiences. We look at our experience with God and say, "God, you're just amazing." So I just want to give a big thumbs up to Ryan Hall and appreciate everything that he's doing to glorify God. Pretty awesome, huh?
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, man. So also too, you know, I want to give a couple of shout outs out there today. You know, I didn't give any shout outs earlier like we normally do, but I want to give a shout out to Steve. Oh my goodness.
Steve.
The Marine.
Love you, man.
Fireman. Oh my goodness. I love you, man.
Awesome, dude.
Bring gas next time, dude. Bring gas. That's
gas?
Yeah, remember you couldn't light the fire at the campfire?
Oh, yeah. I wish I could have seen that.
Sorry. I mean, where's a video when you need a video?
Yeah,
I mean,
for those who missed that, what were we talking about? What happened?
We were talking about yesterday that Greg went camping, took a couple of boys out camping, and Steve joined them. And Steve was trying to light a fire by rubbing some twigs and some survival techniques. He's a Marine now. I think two tours in Iraq. Yeah. I mean, this is a bad dude here. You know what I'm saying?
He worked on for like 2 days straight, I think.
2 days straight to get this a roaring fire going, and a teenager walks up and throws some gas on the wood and lights a match
on it.
Oh, fire.
It walks off.
Because it was wet. It was wet. It was wet.
Yeah.
Love you, man. Kay Chara. Oh, my goodness, you are so encouraging. You're such a blessing. I'd love to see your prayers. So awesome. Cindy holding it down in Tampa. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Give Kevin a big old hug.
Yes.
And Eddie. Oh, my goodness, Eddie. Dude, I just love the way you worship. Didn't you like that?
Oh, I love that little dance he did.
Man, he just, let me tell you, he just loves God. He has no problem with it. Well, we're going to, I just want to just give those shout outs and say we love you guys and thank you for listening. But we're going to get ready to head for a break.
It is so neat how Steve Hill and Peter Wagner are just hearing the same thing that we're hearing. We've been preparing so long for this day. We had so much foundation to lay. We had so many lessons to learn. It took, you know, God specifically said it would take us 3 years to learn what he's going to teach us that he'll use for the next 30 years. And here we are just this week. Mm-hmm. Peter Wagner and Steve Hill are talking very specifically what seems radical. But it only seems radical because it's not being done that much. Mm-hmm. But once you're doing it, it's not radical anymore. Once you break the mindset, I'm talking about transforming nations, how a rapid church planting movement can begin to change the world. Think about it. You know, we go out and we win the lost. Those that believe, we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we teach them, we disciple them to in the teachings of Jesus, and then we launch them while they're still being related to do the very same thing. Love God, love others, and lead others. It's radical. But listen, Steve Hill just talks about how radical it is with Peter. Listen up, I'll be right back.
But you're talking radical stuff.
Okay? I know. What I'm saying is...
That's what bugs me, okay? Well, because how do I, okay? I'm an evangelist pastor, okay? You're everything, okay? And you get out there and you try to get that into somebody's heart. Okay, is a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah, but it can. People can understand and listen and be born again and filled with the Spirit and move out and do that.
Well, you know, I believe that.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, I believe that because we have fruit. There's fruit that follows. But the message today, okay, in America is needful. Okay, we're right now in a political year, okay, and every year is a political year, but I look at politicians and they get up and the one who has the fiercest voice, the one who has the most powerful message, the one who has this just undying passion, this unction, is the one that seems to slide into, you know,
the
voters' hearts. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking at Christianity and I'm going, okay, the one who is passionate, the one who is able to, at work, open their mouths and talk about the things of Christ rather than the things just the Bible or sections or portions of the scripture, the whole gospel, that's a concern of mine.
Absolutely. And based on the cross of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed and the salvation that he brought, that is what pastors need. And not just taking care of the sheep, but preaching the gospel that will move through their sheep to those who are not saved and touch them with the gospel and bring them in and continue that process. If we do that, we can see whole cities transformed.
And that's exactly how it was done from the beginning. And we get bogged down with our religion, our traditions, and our philosophies, you know, and we start wondering, why isn't what was happening anymore? We're just bogged down. Mm-hmm, right. Let's just go back and revisit the original intent of the church. Mm-hmm. It's time to, you know, I don't know where you are. If you are, begin to talk about, read the Word of God, read the whole Word like Steve's talking about, as he's talking to Peter Wagner here, Steve Hill, and just say, you know, I'm ready to do the whole Word of God, and then encourage everybody there to do the same thing. If you're a pastor, you're a teacher, begin to teach the whole Word of God. Don't pull segments out and 3 points of this and 4 points of that. Just go in and dive into the red letters. Dive into the original ten of the church. And if not, if you're presently not related or connected to a fellowship somewhere, or you're just being called out, listen, VFN family might be for you. Mm-hmm. Maybe inside of you, you can be that radical person. Everybody's looking for a political leader to be able to lead a country or to lead a state or lead a county. But let me tell you something. God's looking for somebody who will lead his people. He said he would raise up shepherds for his people. Maybe that's you. Maybe you are that voice. Where are the leaders in our generation? Look in the mirror and see that personal leader might be you. Find out more at vfnfamily.org. vfnfamily.org, where we're walking out the original tent, just like Peter Wagner just said. VFNfamily.org. You know, Ben, I was just talking to my father, and he was, my sisters and I, we got them an iPad, and, you know, move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now.
Oh,
my
wow.
mother, yeah, she can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have to do a conference call or something, and bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to hear my mother. We just laugh and talk, and we've always had a great time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they're listening to VFN TV and the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program with their iPad.
Oh wow!
They have an iPad, and they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store and downloaded the application, because we have an application. We have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad. We have an app for your iPhone, and we have an app for your Android. Mm-hmm. You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go, is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh, man, I missed that, you can go that. With the app, you could go back and look to the highlights of that day, and possibly the app, that particular highlights right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio program Facebook. You can get to our the VFN TV blog right off your application. Has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are you know, sowing into this ministry and giving, that you can even give right there on your application.
Oh.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey Dad, and all the moms and dads out there. Listen, you can get VFN TV and the Daily Radio program right there on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat Hamilton. Oh my goodness, speaking about that app, I love it.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Oh my goodness, dude. You got your iPad, your iPhone. Oh my, you know, there's so much stuff on
and
this
Android,
app.
And an Android,
Google Play. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, you know, I know it was mentioned earlier, but you can go to the App Store for iPhone and you can download it. Just going to type in VFN TV. And you can also find the same app for Android phones on Google Play. You just type in VFN TV and you'll pull it up. But there's so much on this app. I mean, it's really just sharp and cutting edge, which will have your messages, live radio. I like that. It's live radio on the go. You know what I mean? If I'm not sitting in front of my computer and I'm going for a ride, I got to take care of some things, I've got my VFN radio going in the background and I'm doing what I have, especially during the weekend, you know, when you get the marathon going. Yeah. And I'm just taking it all in and just letting that word encourage me and just wash over me. Oh, my goodness.
God is good.
Well, I wanted to bring to share an encouraging word with our VFN radio listeners today, and just spending some time with the Lord, and I just felt like this is just so encouraged me. But I want to share with you, you know, an encouraging word regarding trust and confidence. You know, Pat, I mean, we trust and confidence is a big deal.
Definitely.
You know, where things are headed. If the church doesn't repent, I mean, we're going to see some even tougher times than what we're facing now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and many today are facing difficult circumstances.
Right.
I mean, you know, but today people are dealing with some tough things in their life. I mean, they're dealing with lack of finances. You know, maybe they're having lack, you know, of a home and even a place to live, a lack in their relationships. Things are just maybe falling apart.
Losing their jobs.
Losing their jobs, you know, you have unemployment, you know. 9-10% almost, mm-hmm. you know, and biggest of all, lack, most of people are lacking a relationship with God. I mean, it's huge.
That's huge.
And so, and then there's another group of people, Brad, that they're facing some things today that they thought they would never have to face. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, have you ever been there in your life where it's like, you know, I've been through that. You kind mm-hmm. of check. And right. sometimes you can begin to get a false confidence like, oh, yeah, you know, I know when that happened to us. And, mm-hmm. it'll be okay because, you know, things have a way of working out, you know.
Right.
But then you face the big one.
Right.
It's like, oh, I have no grid for this. I have no grid for that. Mm. And when everything begins to quake, you're going to need to know in whom you trust and where you have your confidence.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Because things are about to shake, man. Things are about to quake. I mean, and we're starting to see some quakings and some rumblings now. But for what's coming, mm. oh, my goodness, we need to be ready. And people normally find themselves in one of three places. You know, you're either coming out of a trial, you know what I'm saying, yeah. or you're saying, whew, that was something, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? You're about, the other places, you may be getting ready to get into a trial, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. it's on its way, you just don't know yet.
Right.
Or you're right in the middle of a trial. And James gives us some awesome wisdom. He says, consider pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Hmm. And so we need to start welcoming these trials as our friends. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But the big problem occurs when we have a shaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing like a good shaking to reveal where you had your confidence in your trials.
That's right.
You
know Absolutely.
You know, and that's healthy, I think. You know what I mean? That's a good thing. And fear exposes where you've been placing your confidence. You know, so fear has a way of just exposing it.
Oh, yeah.
When you start getting fearful, you start realizing, wait a second. Where's my confidence? Where's my confidence? The word confidence means, Pat, a full trust. Mm-hmm. Full, like 100%. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Full trust. And belief in powers, you know, full trust.
Right.
And interesting, when I was doing those mountain adventures there with Elijah, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to trust this little wire that's holding me up here. I'm only 60 feet in the air.
Oh,
he was
my
like,
goodness.
This dinky thing is holding me. But if I'm going to get across from one end of the forest to the other, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to have to just trust the training and trust the stuff that they gave us to operate with.
Right.
Well, fear comes in because we have misplaced faith.
Mm-hmm.
Misplaced faith. Hebrews says that faith, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You know, faith and confidence, Pat, it's a substance. If you could think of it like you're holding something in your hand, it's the substance of things hoped for. It's a measure. If you will, you gotta ask yourself, like, where's my measure? Where's my measure of confidence? Where's my measure of faith? Where's my measure of trust?
Mm-hmm.
And normally, like we said earlier, when fear strikes, it's a clue. It's a clue that maybe we have misplaced our faith. You know, people today are putting their faith and their confidence, you know, in themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, hello, been there, done that, died there. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't work. You know, in your resources and you're intelligent and what you're able to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, in their jobs. And how many people are just putting all their – I think about all those people that maybe were working so hard for some of these very large companies and they said, oh, my goodness, you know, I'm going to work the extra hours. I'm going to mm-hmm. stay later. I'm going to do all these things because, you know, sometimes people can worship their job.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, the thing that they were worshiping starts quaking and shaking, and they never gave no credit to God for taking care of them. You know what I mean? And
right.
and so now their confidence is totally, you know, shaken and just rocked.
Mm-hmm.
How about putting in your possessions?
Oh, yeah.
As long as I have that car, you know, that's why I bought that brand new car. I bought that brand new car, you know, because I didn't want to have no problems. And I just feel good now. I can go cross country. And I just feel so confident and that, you know, my car's ability to get me everywhere. Now, I'm not against good cars, nothing like that. But it's like, you know, I just need something good. All this is faith and confidence in mm-hmm. cars. You know, I got this one with this beams that are running right through the walls. Because if we ever got in an accident, we fell off a mountain, even though I don't live near a mountain. But mm-hmm. in case we fell off a mountain, you know, I would be protected. You
right.
know what I'm saying? It's like, okie dokie. You know, right. how about putting your faith, your substance, your confidence in other people?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know? I mean, we're made to worship people. We're made to worship God. You know, there's a, you know, we can trust and certainly there's a level of confidence and belief we should have in each other. But I'm talking about an exorbitant, I'm talking about an unhealthy and unnatural mm-hmm. amount of confidence and trust that as long as I have this one person, you ever notice, you know, where there's an unnatural or unhealthy confidence in maybe a person in the family that is like, oh, yeah. you know, people will say, oh, my goodness, if so-and-so dies, I don't know what we would do. Mm. I don't know what will happen. We will all fall apart.
I've seen it's like, it happen.
Isn't that devastating?
It's sad. I mean, have that much confidence in a person. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Isn't it? I mean, really? And yeah. it's like, oh, my goodness, this whole family survived because of this one person? Does this mm-hmm. whole business survive because of this one person? Are we worshiping this person? It's amazing that when that person does die, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I've noticed, mm-hmm. I think we have together, that family begins to get freed up because they realize, wait a minute, I got all this time I've been trusting, you know,
that's right.
depending and leaning unnaturally on this one person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, now they could turn.
Mm-hmm.
Or how about money? You know, I was like, as long as I got my 401J and my 401K, I still got some stocks, you know. I bought some gold and it's buried in my backyard somewhere. And, you know, I've been saving these silver coins ever since I was 10 years old. And
goodness.
If it gets real bad, I'll trade in my baseball cards. You know, those I got a couple $1 million in baseball cards. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Where's all this confidence? Where? And then when your money gets sucked up,
mm-hmm.
when your money's gone.
That's right. Who are you leaning on now?
Yeah, there's fear. Oh, as long as we got them credit cards. As long as we got them credit cards, I just feel comfortable knowing that at least American Express is in my back pocket. I mean, we may not have no money, mm-hmm. but if I can pull out that card, oh my goodness. What happens when the card is no longer there? It's like, oh my goodness. And so when things that can be shaken are going to be shaken, when we mm-hmm. realize that, oh my goodness, that when that fear comes in, it's like a reminder. It's our clue to say, oh my.
Mm-hmm.
I need to cry out to God. I have misplaced my faith. I put my faith, you know, either in myself or in money or in a job mm-hmm. or in a person. I need to stop that. You know, Isaiah 2:8 says this: their land is full of idols. They bow down to the work of their hands and to what their fingers have made.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's good.
We can make these things our idols, dude.
I know it.
And it's like, God said, I'll have no other gods before me. We're talking about trust. We're talking about confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it time and time again. So many people just shaken to the core. And it's like, if you're a believer, you're going to need to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He's got you. Absolutely. You know, I'm reminded. Hey, you may remember this, but I'm reminded that long time ago, we needed a vehicle,
mm-hmm.
and I only had a certain amount of money. It was a few thousands of dollars, not much, but I wanted to get a second vehicle that was paid for and mm-hmm. just kind of a local car. And you and I actually, I think we're both looking for cars at the same time, and
yeah.
you know, we were talking about it and we're praying for each other, and
mm-hmm.
and I just want to make a wise purchase, you know, and that type of stuff. But normally, you know, I have had great success in maybe negotiating a deal,
yeah.
or finding the right, you know, car at the right price. And I remember, man, it was like a month. I don't know if you remember, like a month, 6 weeks. I'm like, Pat, can you believe I have combed every lot in
yeah.
Florida? I have looked on every website. I mm-hmm. have seen all these cars.
Yeah.
And I still can't find the car. I mean, like, what's the deal? You know, I was so frustrated. And I'm thinking, dude, is this going to happen? And so Teresa and I remember we went away for the weekend. It was near our anniversary. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, when it's your anniversary and you have small kids, we're like, I think we only went away for a day. So people, you know, think our babysitter can only watch the all of our children for like one day. It's like, we'll take it. We'll take it.
All right.
I think we went to Gulf Shores or something like that, and we're in this nice, this condo, and we actually had to make several trips because babies needed other stuff. We had to come back and all this type of stuff. So we had limited time to begin with, you know. And so I remember the next morning we woke up at this beautiful place and we're thinking, it's almost over. You know, it's like, we just blinked and we're here. Oh my goodness, you know. Mm-hmm. And I remember that the enemy was trying to tempt me not to abide that morning. Mm-hmm. He was trying to tempt me and saying, you know, don't abide today. You've been so faithful in abiding. You know, you only have a limited time here. Enjoy the time here with your wife. You know, you can take in some sights, you know, all these lies to try to tell you not to spend time with the Lord, you know. And I just felt something so strong in my spirit. I was like, no. And she's like, no, I can't. You know, no, I'm going to spend time with the Lord. And I looked at Teresa and I said, listen, let's just spend time with the Lord. However long we have here, you know, it's fine. We'll just trust God with it, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about trust. I'm talking about confidence. And I remember, Pat, that during that time of abiding, during that time of spending time with the Lord, God shared with me such a powerful revelation on trust. And just, I mean, blew me out, if you will. You know what I mean?
Right.
I got so convicted because the Lord starts showing me, just saying, you know, the reason that you can't find this vehicle is because you have misplaced trust. He says, you know that you only had a certain amount of money, so you couldn't put faith in the fact that this money was going to purchase the vehicle because you knew that that money was not typically going to be enough. You needed a God deal, right? Not a good deal. So you knew that that money was not going to get you anything, right?
Right.
The other thing is that, Johnny, you put your trust in your ability, to try to find something and search and look. Dude, I scoured the Gulf Coast. I mean, I was like up and down. I mean, it was crazy, you know.
I remember.
And it's like, he said, you put your trust, but you didn't trust me. Says, son, you got misplaced faith. You know, and when we don't trust God, this is what we're saying. This is what we're saying. God, who is full of integrity, God who does not lie, you know, God who is the truth. You know what I'm saying? We're saying, I'm not sure that you can deliver. I'm not. Think about it. The reason why you don't trust someone with an item or something, you're saying, I don't know. There's something about how you act, your fruit, that tells me that if I put this in your hands, it may not come back. It'll be broken. You're not going to take care of it. And just, I have a bit of a trust issue right now. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. And that's what we're dealing with, you know. And you know, men are flawed, and you know, so sometimes they're not trustworthy. And it's our aim, of course, to be trustworthy and to be to have integrity. Mm-hmm. But that check that you have with someone, you're just saying, I just don't know. There's something about maybe your character. Or saying to God is like, you know, God, I just don't know God. You know, the creator and the manager of the universe. You know, the one whose heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. You know, the one who made me and formed me, you know, and saved me.
Right.
I don't know if you could handle this itty bitty situation, like a car, you know, or a house or a job or a family situation, you know, or healing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you could handle. I don't know if you're just. Dude, I was so convicted to the core. I was so good. I repented that morning. I said, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. I'm going to take this out of my hands. I'm going to find my misplaced faith. I'm going to pull it out, take the substance out of myself and out of money and all that. And I'm going to put my faith and my confidence in you. Mm-hmm. And so I just remember just repenting and just getting that right with God. And so, you know, I came back to, you know, we came back home and just a week later, Pat, a week later.
Yeah.
Trusting God now. I didn't go look anything, didn't Google none of those searches.
Yeah.
Someone gives me a call out of the blue, who knows I was looking for a car, at 9 o'clock at night, saying, John, I found your car.
Yeah.
I found your car sitting out here inside the road. Someone's selling it. You got to come get it because people are swarming around it. And I mean, this thing is priced to sell. You got to come. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, silly me. I'm like, oh no, I'm not going to get up at nine. I was ready to go to bed and stuff. And this guy was persistent and called him and said, you got to come. So finally I got dressed and went down there. Mm-hmm. And Pat, there was this beautiful car sitting there for me.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just awesome. Yeah. It was just like perfect. It was everything that I was looking for and everything that I said that I didn't have enough money. In fact, I think you went with me when I went to go look at a Honda that was priced, you know, like, is there a good value? You know,
I'm like, good cars.
Yeah. And I just couldn't And there it was sitting a Honda for me. And get this, Pat. Mm-hmm. The person was selling it for like $400 less than the amount of money I had.
Oh, wow.
This is a loader. She said, hey, son, I've got you. Wow. I've got you. Get your faith out of things. That's what he's telling us, to get your faith out of and your trust and your substance. Get it out of people. Get it out of your job. Get it out of your ability to provide for yourself and your resources. And that's pride. That's leaning on the arm of the flesh. You need to start mm-hmm. leaning on God and walking in humility, which is total dependency upon God mm-hmm. and respect for other people and nothing to do with pride.
Right.
Job 5:19 says this, 5-27 says, listen to this. From six calamities he will rescue you, and seven no harm will befall you. And so he says, in famine he will ransom you from death. I mean, you may be hungry, but you ain't going to starve to death. You know what I'm saying? And in battle, from the stroke of the sword. You may get hit, but you certainly won't die. Mm. You know? You'll be protected from the lash of the tongue and need not fear when destruction comes. I mean, don't worry about it when people are hating on you. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it when their words are attacking you and they're lashing you. Because guess what? You can make it. And he's going to protect you from that. Mm-hmm. Okay? You will laugh at destruction and famine and need not fear the beasts of the earth. Think about destruction and famine won't touch you. Think about how God protected the Israelites. You know, it's just mm-hmm. not going to touch you if you trust in him. If you belong to him. If he's yours. If he's your Lord and Savior. This is the inheritance you have as a believer. For you will have a covenant with the stones of the field, and the wild animals will be at peace with you. I like that. No wild animals on tech.
Absolutely.
You will know that your tent is secure. That's your home. That's your house. God's got you.
That's right.
We need to stop fretting over all these type of things and say, you know what, God? I'm going to trust you. I put this home and this house and this situation. You know, Acts 17, you've determined the exact time and place where I should live, that I'm going to reach out to you. Mm-hmm. And you'll hear me even though you're not far away. You know, and I have full confidence in your ability to lead me. Then the enemy has to deceive me or mess me up or you know, bring destruction to me. You know that, verse 25, you know that your children will be many and your descendants will be like the grass of the earth. Hey, listen, your children are going to make it.
That's right.
Don't be in fear. They're going to make it. They're going to come to God. They're going to do the right thing. Your children are going to make it. Of this one, you will come to the grave in full vigor, like sheaves gathered in season. Mm-hmm. How many people are just, I'm fading out. I'm just waiting for the Lord to take me. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't want to die like that. You know what I'm saying? What do you mean? I'm just, you know, coasting through any day now, me and Jesus. I'm like, no. You want to go out full of vigor. Think about Caleb, dude. He's like, we done made the promised land. God had made me the promise of Hebron. I want my land. I got the same strength I did when I was young back then. Give it to me. I am ready. Give me my land. I want to walk in the promises of God. And then the last he says, we have examined this and it is true. So hear it and apply it to yourself. You know, even though, 1,000 may fall at your right side and 10,000 at your right hand, you know, evil is not going to come near you.
That's right.
God's got you. You can trust him.
That's right. John makes me think about Proverbs. I just read it this morning. It says, mm-hmm. when a storm is swept by, the wicked mm-hmm. are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that good?
How awesome is that?
Isn't that good?
That's awesome. We can trust him. We can trust him. We can put our full confidence in him because the Lord has our back.
That's right.
We'll be right back.
There is nothing, nothing, Pat, mm-hmm. worse than man's religion.
Yeah.
You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right mm-hmm. in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened mm-hmm. to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God. Which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk mm-hmm. to you.
Right.
You know, and people want they want this, mm-hmm. but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this, right. you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you. Mm. You can write your own devotional. Listen, right. just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit. Mm-hmm. You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time, at a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you. Mm-hmm. You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org. You know, quite often, you know, we're looking and we're searching, we're trying to find out, you know, maybe this will actually make me feel better. Maybe this job will fix me. Maybe this relationship will fix me. Maybe money will fix me. Maybe education will fix me. Maybe medication will fix me. I don't know what it is, but something we're always trying to, we don't consciously say, hey, I need a fix. We don't consciously say I have a hole in my heart and I'm trying to fill it. But the truth is, if we really studied it, if we really thought it through, the truth is that we have a hole in our heart and we're trying to fill it and nothing's working. And I'm going to tell you something, that journey that you went on, that you went to relationship after relationship, you went to job after job, you went after money, you went after fame, whatever it is, and it leaves you not only dry, but it leaves you shameful. It leaves you like, I'm not worth anything now. But let me tell you something, that was nothing but a distraction, that our God, through his son, Jesus Christ, can actually cleanse you from all that. Don't worry about it. It's only religious people who will tell you that God won't accept you. That's the Pharisees. That's the whole reason why Jesus came for us. You know, you've got to meet God through his son, Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful. As a matter of fact, we shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We've shared a couple of them just to find out so you can get the different perspectives of how, you know, the people that God saves. You know, Paul said this. He said, the reason why God saved me is because I was the chiefest of sinners, and by looking at me, you can see how big his grace is. There's enough grace for you. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. And but I do want to remind you as we're progressing, don't forget about the Marathon Weekends. Marathon Weekends on VFN Radio is that week's VFN Radio programs back to back. What it means is that 9 a.m. on Central Time on Saturdays, mm-hmm. you will start a 24-hour broadcast will begin and place program like Monday's program, first hour, Monday's extra hour, then Tuesday's, and it goes back to mm-hmm. back. So literally while you're relaxing, maybe sharing time with friends, then when you turn on VFN Radio on your phones or your iPads or your computers or your smart TVs or whatever, that you can listen to that entire week's program. Of course, we've got highlights, but don't forget the Marathon Weekend back.
That's awesome.
To back. Yeah, it is. When you think communism, some people just think, oh, you know, you remember that commercial? I don't know. Wendy's did a commercial a long time ago, and it lasted, I think, two times. They took it off the air. They said it offended them. And they were having a fashion show. And in the fashion show, they had this lady come out. It was all like gray, like hospital looking gown thing or something, just real drab.
Yeah.
And she said, he goes, and next, David, you know, and she comes out and she has this gray blah thing on exactly. And her hair's back in. And then she goes out. And then he says, and now, evening there, and then this, and she comes out with the same dress on with a flashlight. So many people think of communism in black and white terms. They think about it in the way people dress, that it's, since they've seen videos and history in black and white, you know, they think that that's just some old historical thing. No, it's just the way the economy moves.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me today is Pat Hamilton. Oh, my goodness, Pat, time is flying by. We're coming close to the end of our first hour. We've covered so much today. My goodness, I love Ryan Hall and his heart for God. Oh, my goodness, so encouraging. Mm-hmm. I love that, you know, he hangs out with Bill Johnson. I love what Bill Johnson says. Bill Johnson says, I refuse to have a thought about myself that God does not have about me.
That's powerful.
How awesome is that, man?
That's powerful.
You know, you know, thoughts can take you to places, man, right? But it's like, why those thoughts about yourself that God does not have about you? You know, I was listening to Greg talking about Evening Well and old school commercials.
That was funny.
Oh, my goodness. I was thinking the other day, I was trying to explain to my sons, you know, I said, you know, about TV programming and different things and you know, they're young and they like to watch the Disney stuff. And I says, you know, we didn't have all this Disney, you know, TV and all this, you know.
I
said, I used to watch these old black and white television and all this, you know. I'm like, he says, what's black and white? And you know what I'm saying? Well, is it really black? And I was like, well, it's kind of gray.
Okay? Yeah, it's kind of gray.
No color, you know.
Right.
I remember those big old heavy TVs. Well, one of the shows that I used to love watching, I don't know if you remember this, Pat, but this I guess this show was in the 50s, but you know how they do those reruns?
Mm-hmm.
I used to watch My Three Sons. You remember that?
Dude, you are old.
Hey, listen, you know, My Three Sons. You remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you can still find them out. You can YouTube them now.
They have
lost episodes, but I was just watching one the other day. That's when TV was just good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was just clean. Point. Yeah. You get to worry about it. Yeah, that was good.
Well, it's real artistic. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It was really creative. You think about it. It's like real art, you know? I was watching this one episode where the little boy that they had just adopted, he wanted to go to, they just came back from the zoo or the carnival that came into town.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to sleep and he they're camping, him and his brother are camping outside. Mm-hmm. And he says, for some reason, I think I hear a lion outside. I think, you know, so he goes, he walks outside and he outside of the tent and he sees a lion in his backyard. So he starts waking up. His brother says, no. You know, there's a lion here. His brother says, go back to bed. That's the dog. Go back to bed. So the next 25 minutes, okay, the next 25 minutes of this program is all about, you know, this boy and him trying to find this lion every time he goes to get a family member to say, there's a lion in the house. There's a lion.
Oh,
the lion
goodness.
Goes from the backyard to in the house and all these different rooms.
Yeah.
And everyone's telling the boy, go to sleep. He's not there. Finally, you know, the lion comes out and corners the dad and the dad's just going wild. But it's like 27 minutes on this hilarious, clean, wholesome thing. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. We need programming like that, you know?
I'm
encouraged by all the young, you know, young people that love the Lord that want to do, you know, creative movies and creative things like that because there's a niche for that. There's good stuff. You know, I remember us going to watch Facing the Giants and all these encouraging movies that really bring just it's like wow, look at that, totally family message, entertained, and it was wholesome. But I'm telling you, my three sons. I want to talk about a little bit about what we're going to be talking about here in the extra hour. But we're going to be talking about how New York City is announcing their new counterterrorism system and how it will lead to maybe unconstitutional warrantless surveys. This is serious. This is cutting edge. This is happening right now, and we're going to need to be aware of what's happening. We can't bury our heads in the sand anymore. We got to know, hey, this is real. This is happening, and you got to be informed. We're also going to be talking about in the extra hour. We're going to share the wisdom moment, which is going to be just encouraging. And so we have a wisdom moment as always.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we're going to be talking about 714. It's an event that's happening in Charlotte, North Carolina, where the church in the city are coming together. You got to hear about this. It's very, very encouraging, and it's going to be really, really good. But there's so many things happening, so much stuff to cover. We'll be right back.
Oh my goodness, we've come to the end of the first hour. Thank you so much for joining us. For those who can't be with us, God bless. You have a wonderful weekend. Don't forget, you'll be able to catch all the highlights, and you're going to also catch on the VFN Torch, all everything you might have missed. But those who are coming to the extra hour, we'll be right back.